And welcome to the Feminem Podcast, the official podcast of Feminem, discussing all things femme, a little bit of EM, and everything in between. I am Dara Cass, and this is a super special Feminem Podcast. Today, we are going to be regrouping on Fix 18, which ended 72 hours ago, but who's counting? I can tell you that I am still not caught up on all the tweets and emails, but I figured it was a great chance to bring some people together and talk about what just happened. So I asked a few members of the Fix Planning Committee to join me and discuss everything, the event, the highlights, and to try and kind of convey a sense of what we just went through and maybe even think about what we are thinking about doing for Fix 19. I also wanted to give everyone a taste of what might be in the Feminem Fix podcasts and blog posts coming out. So on our podcast today, we have Dr. Shivani Modi. She's an EM attending and assistant residency director at Maimonides Medical Center, but she was the director of our medical student ambassador program, and she is the chair of our social media committee. Shivani, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
I love that we're applauding for each other. At some point, it's a little much. All right. The next podcast guest is not really a guest. It's Dr. Risa E. Lewis, who needs no introduction on this podcast. She was the co-chair of our curriculum committee and oversaw our incredible Feminem speaker coaches. So Risa Lewis, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
And then there's Pemi. Oh, Pemi. Pemi is the hybrid of Penny Lima and Dr. Amy Zeiden, both doctors, sisters at heart, who were separated at birth but united in person for the first time at the Feminem opening party. They are our fantastic Fix Finance co-chairs. But Amy, who is an ultrasound fellow at the University of Kentucky, was also the organizer of our Fix resident room. And Penny was the who is currently the director of emergency ultrasound at the University of Buffalo, soon to be the vice chair of faculty development at, that's right, Columbia University Medical Center with this girl that you can clap for.
Yay.
And we're still looking for advice on whether we should be team Pemi or Pay-me as our love fest continues.
It's Pemi, but anyway, so thank you, Pemi. Apparently, that's better than Pemi, for joining us on the Feminem Podcast.
Thank you all for having me.
Amy, say thank you.
Thank you.
Yay.
I've been waiting my whole life for this. This is my second Feminem Podcast, and I bought a microphone just for this purpose. And so thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
I'm waiting
thank
for you. Another invite.
Thank you. Okay. So this year's event had nearly 700 participants from about a dozen countries. Speakers and participants traveled from South Africa, Australia, Canada, and multiple countries in Europe. And then there were the Americans. There were so many Americans, men, women, and children, which we'll talk about, which was extraordinary, incredible. The mark of an event that takes my breath away is when I throw a party and I don't know the people that are coming. So I will say the amount of people there that I didn't know made me really, really happy. So we tried so many new things this year. And I want to just kind of go through them a little bit. And I want to start with the party. So Penny.
Yes.
Penny. Please tell me, can you give us a sense of what the party was like?
The party was a great opening act. It had more than 500 people. The Highline Ballroom was beautifully magenta, just like our Feminem colors, and it was sponsored by the Butterfly Network. The music was curated by Amy for All Things Femme, and signature drinks were rocking off the bar. We had selfie stands upstairs, and Ali Raja and Kaushal Shah brought their own children, characters from the book My Tummy Hurts. They brought their children Chase and Naya, and the book was co-sponsored by Butterfly Network. The best part was having the ultrasound stations with customized glow-in-the-dark ultrasound pink gel and having Dara Cass walk to the front, seeing everyone shoulder to shoulder from all over the world, just watching the premiere of the I Am Feminem video.
So I want to add something here to my favorite Pemi. There was a moment when the video was playing where we looked out into the audience and we could see everybody watching the video. And it was the first time that I really felt we were creating a community and you could see their reaction to something so powerful and something so meaningful to them. And it took my breath away.
There were a lot of spontaneous interactions with fritters. Dara, yeah. You taught me this term, friends plus Twitter equals fritter. I went up and hugged quite a few people. I'm like, we're fritters. I know you. Hi, I'm so-and-so. And it was fantastic. It was an opener that just made everybody feel like something big is about to start. We don't know what's going to happen, but it felt big and it felt powerful and everybody was jazzed.
I will say, I think, you know, we had name tags. Right? Which I think was a really good idea to start because so many people didn't know each other. And then we had the Fix Friends. And that was a program that Jenny and Danya ran, and they ran the party also, a lot of these introductions to like social events. And, you know, the idea, and each of them had like this light up necklace so you could find your Fix Friend if you didn't know who else to look for. And it's the idea that you got to a party with 500 people. Like, a lot of people have not been to a party of 500 people, especially in a space like a concert venue in New York City. Like, it could feel overwhelming, but I don't think it did, right? I think it felt like safe and like a bar mitzvah or like a wedding or some other analogy of a party where you could, a high school reunion. Maybe that's the energy that I felt. It felt like a reunion of friends that kind of knew each other, didn't know each other, but they were ready to kind of like start the weekend. You know what I mean?
And unlike any other party that I've been to, there were really no wallflowers. There was no one that was sitting by themselves who didn't have a friend, who didn't meet somebody new. And I felt that everyone felt included and felt like they were part of something.
Okay. So now, speaking of being part of something, Shivani, you really actually conceived of and sort of fruition our medical student ambassador program. And I will say that for me as a conference organizer, and more importantly, getting feedback from the venue about the quality of staff, quote unquote, working our event, it was amazing. And then I told them all that these were medical students and the conference venue staff was shocked. So can you tell everyone about the medical student ambassador program, what it was, how we had applications and like, what did they do and what were some of their feedback, I guess, from the event?
Absolutely. So we had 15 medical students that we actually selected through an application process that was put out via Twitter. We had, I think, over 50 applications, and we had them submit essays on why they wanted to be a fixer at FemmNM and Fix 18. And we chose 15. And they were 15 people from all around the country, and actually one from England and three from Canada. And so these women came and they helped with the welcome. They had many tasks, but they started with helping with the welcome party, with the welcome events, and with registration, with taking photos. They even got the opportunity to interview many of the speakers, working with Stacy Gitlin. And so they had a lot of different tasks, and they were all very excited to do these tasks and really happy and optimistic and just so resourceful whenever they ran into any issues. And I think the best feedback I got from most of them was, I'm going to reuse this idea of a fritter, but many of them have these Twitter friends that they follow and they view as celebrities and people like program directors that they're probably going to be interviewing with for residency. And they got to meet them in person while that was, whether it may have been while they were registering somebody or interviewing them. So they were all very excited. I got many excited texts being like, oh, Derek Hass retweeted me or Risa Lewis retweeted me, which was so exciting and amazing to see that we're creating this pipeline for them. They are the future of FemmNM, and they're also excited to come back and help with Fix next year. And they were just incredible to work with and really thankful for the opportunity to be a part of this.
I still get so excited if Risa E. Lewis or Derek Cass retweet. Still like me the too.
I just want to say the concept of bringing in the ambassadors is brilliant. You know, sometimes we see this at other conferences and all of us are committed to a community. We're committed to bringing each other up, mentorship, sponsorship, et cetera. And the relationships that start at something like Fix 18, those can last a lifetime and certainly help as each of these women progress through their stages of career.
Well, I think Absolutely. That was one of the things that somebody said to me at the conference was how multi-generational it felt. And I think that's one of those mm-hmm. words in medicine we think about generations is like, you know, people in and around my residency graduation year. So like I'm 10 years out of residency. So I'm in a certain generation. And then there's people about 5 years out that are kind of the next generation. And a lot of the women who have been there and done that, this older generation, felt included and also felt like they had a place at the table while they're watching and talking to and even eating dinner with. Like, so one of the things we can kind of touch on now is our networking dinners, right? So at the whole conference, you know, Danya, who is one of our core planning committee members, took the entire conference, anyone that RSVP'd, and broke it up into really 60, right, dinners of, you know, it's like 8 to 9 people each. And that's a huge amount of work, but it's worth it, right? Because everybody sat at a table with just 7 other participants, and that included our medical student ambassadors. Mm-hmm. So the chance of them sitting with a chair, vice chair, or program director in a really kind of warm and inviting space was pretty good.
And can I say, many of us are familiar with New York City. We like New York City. You highlight something that I think people don't think about. A lot of people have never been to New York. They don't know how to navigate New York. A club in Chelsea, you know, it's all overwhelming. And to have a place that, you know, you can go eat dinner, we may think, oh, wow, we can go anywhere. But I think a lot of people appreciate, okay, dinner reservations made, group is made, go there. You all have Fix 18 in common.
Right.
And just to add in my networking dinner from last year, I sat across from Diane Birnbaumer and I sat next to Teresa Chan. A few months later, Teresa Chan taught me how to write an innovation report and helped me get published. And a few months later, I had had multiple email exchanges with Diane Birnbaumer, who is helping with the Revive conference. So these relationships we develop at the dinners really do have long-lasting impacts.
Yeah.
Absolutely. One more thing to add about the medical students. It was really fantastic because we were able to get their names and their profiles out on Twitter. So people were able to see who they were and learn a quick fact about them. But I think the coolest thing to see about the conference is all of the women who are maybe a couple of generations, like Dara, you mentioned above them, followed these people and retweeted these people. And it just got their names out there and they felt so loved and appreciated and just so fulfilled by that. So it was incredible to see how we all kind of come together to kind of pull these people up.
And I think that it sets up a framework for like organic mentorship and sponsorship, right? So that these connections, they matter. It was part of what I talked about in my opening talk, but it makes a difference when you accidentally run into these people in this kind of a venue that feels warm and welcoming, and then you see them at a CORD or an ASEPS or our national conferences. Mm-hmm. You're like, hey, remember me from, you know, FIX, and everyone wants to be remembered, right? And everyone wants to feel connected. And it's just, it's a great kind of platform for everyone to start from. It already feels like you've got a good footing underneath you. And that actually brings me to my next question for Amy, right? So it was actually one of those things that it was a problem we had that we solved creatively, right? So we sold out the conference in 10 days. And one of the issues was we only had a certain number of resident tickets. And that's really a budgetary reason, right? We had a small venue or we only had 580 tickets. At some point, the economics, if you want to make resident tickets cheaper, you have to limit the number of tickets that residents can get. Fine. And the whole thing sold out. So then we were like, well, what are we going to do? We want more people to be able to come. And this way, we said, what if we had a live stream room on site and we opened it up to residents for basically a nominal fee, right? Just more like an RSVP fee that got them a space and really allowed them to come and let us know they were coming. And so we started the Affix Room. And we got a sponsor for that, and that was wonderful. And then Amy, kind of, you went a little crazy with the Affix Room, I would say.
Well, you told me to make it my beehive, and
right?
So I did.
Right? So tell us about what was the Affix Room like?
So you may not be happy with this, but at one point, it was the second day of the conference, and there was only a few minutes where the video stream wasn't working. And I said, you know what, everybody, the balcony is still, you know, there's a few stragglers coming in. If you want to go stand in the back while we get this fixed, you can. And nobody left. Nobody left the room because they were having that good of an experience. So the affixed room really created a smaller, intimate, and safe space for residents to learn and grow and question, but have a more one-on-one experience with special guests. So not only did they get to live stream and be part of the experience, but we had people come in like Asia Liferidge, Megan Rainey, multiple other individuals who came in and did their own Twitter moderated session with the residents. And what we found is that we went well into the break with our sessions because the residents were asking so many questions and expressing so many challenges and questions that they had at their home institutions. So I feel that it really offered a safe space for them to feel valued in their training, but also to really create their own small community. Secondary gain was that the team who put the affix room together, it was incredibly powerful for us that we were able to share this experience with the residents as well. It served as a great tool for recruitment. So a number of residents that were there found people that they could talk to about fellowships or jobs for coming years. So I feel that the value is pretty powerful.
Amy, I love how you gave gifts throughout 2 days.
We did have a lot of prizes. We had so many people that wanted to donate prizes when we told them about the idea of the affix room and how we are creating a space for residents. So donate for next year.
Because it seems like it's happening again.
Maybe. Wait a minute. Are you thinking of doing another fix?
We're not sure. We want to see how the public reacts to the first one, or I guess the second one, and to see if there's enough demand. So anyone out there, if you think we should do it again, let us know.
I want to say one more thing about the affix room. Something that was so special for me is that 5 residents from my home institution right now came, and immediately as the conference ended, we had a text chain of 5 ideas that they came up with for implementation at our home institution. One being they wanted to create a chief resident for diversity, inclusion, and equity. And I thought the power to create something like that was really why we did this, and it worked.
And did they get that accepted? Did they propose it yet, or you don't know?
There are a few things that have been accepted.
That's amazing. I mean, and that actually, I think that's the perfect setup for my last question for this group, which is the real question, right? Which is about the experience of the conference itself. And Risa, you and I, and Esther Chu specifically, I think have spent a lot of time kind of banging our heads around what makes this thing, right? And as much as it is the mentorship and it is the events and it is the social networks and it's the community and it's the networking, but it's the stage, right? And so can you talk a little bit about the stage? Like, what is different about the fixed stage?
Definitely. You know, I take a deep breath because there's so much to it. It's hard to describe to people that didn't see it live. They didn't experience it live, but you can get a pretty good feeling when you watch the talks after. And there are fixed 17 talks that can be viewed now on YouTube. And I know that it'll be a nice rollout of the Fix 18 talk. So it's a combination of things. Anybody that's attended a TED or a TED-like conference, TED, TEDMED, TEDx, I like to say that Fix is SMAC adjacent. So if you attend a SMAC, with membership has its privileges. And what you've heard described so far is everybody feels warm, everybody feels welcome. There's a friendliness, there's a fritter feeling. You hug someone that you've never met before because you feel like you've already met them. When it comes to curating the speakers, we put a lot of thought. Year one, it was more by invitation. There wasn't a apply and put yourself forward approach. But after the success of Fix 17, Esther, you, and I felt, I think we can have people apply to be speakers. And there was a lot of social media amplification to encourage people to apply. We were absolutely bowled over, you recall, by the number of applications from all over the world, men and women, all ages, all stages, people in emergency medicine, people outside emergency medicine. And there was initially we were requiring it, but then we thought we didn't want to put people on the spot or make them uncomfortable, especially if they weren't technology fashion forward, to add a video. And the video was not required, as I said. There were plenty of speakers chosen who did not provide, but it was really compelling when people told their story on video, 1 or 2 minutes, even if it was an iPhone recording. So the selection was tough. We were very thoughtful, though, about the selection. Diversity inclusion is something to which we are all completely committed. It's very important. You were the one that first said it, and I think it's a beautifully stated. It's not just creating safe space, it's creating a safe stage. And anybody that watched day 1 and day 2 speakers felt safe. Audience members felt safe. We heard personal stories. We heard professional stories. We heard topics that are considered maybe taboo. We don't talk about them, but they're ever present for all of us that are in healthcare.
Yeah, I think that there are moments where I'm sitting there and I am in awe of the fact that this exists, right? And I think that, it's like some of the moments that I reflect on, right? So like when Catherine Sherry came from Tanzania to tell her story on that stage. And I'm like, she traveled from Africa to us to share what it's like to be her in her world, which is our world. Yeah. And the world felt smaller in that moment, right? Andy Tagg, he lives in Melbourne now, but he came across the world to tell a story. Nat May came from across the world to tell that story on that stage. And that they were all different stories, right? And they were, Nat's entire lecture, which I won't ruin, to me was so powerful because one word means so much. Right. And the way that she presents is so extraordinary. I mean, she's an incredible speaker. And then you have the people that you weren't expecting because you didn't know them before. And my favorite, of all, I mean, one of them is Elise Portillo, who just killed it. Like her opening line is killed just it. You sit there and you're like, did that just happen?
My name is Elise Portillo. I'm a one-eyed doctor. And this is my story.
I can't, right? There's so much of that is so
Can I just say, no matter how much we can plan and discuss and coach and all those other things and curate, last year at Fix 17, when our speaker came up on stage with her child because the child was feeling inconsolable and crying, we were like, what? And her mom just gave the talk and gave the most eloquent, uninterrupted talk. It was one of the best, standing ovation. This year, Arabia, she wasn't feeling 100% herself. She got up on stage. She sat in the chair, she read, and I swear it was like a story slam, poetry slam. She had everybody. We were in awe of her story, and it worked.
And that's the moment. I will say, reflecting back and thinking about next year and size and, what we can do next, right? We were 250, a little over last year. We were 700 this year, right? I was afraid personally that what we had last year would not have translated to a larger stage, a larger venue, and lots of people that we didn't know that came from places we didn't know. There were people outside of emergency medicine. There were people who weren't doctors. There were men that we didn't know and invite personally. And, finding those good men, you don't always know who's going to come.
Man is hard to find.
Exactly. Mr. Fix 18, are out there.
I agree. There was that concern of, are we going to lose our intimacy?
Right. And I think that what was clear and starting at the opening party, and I think it translated over and over again. I think that's what the casual observers felt, right? The people that were working for Butterfly Network at the party.
Absolutely.
Were floored. They were like, what is this? Is this a medicine conference? They had never seen anything like it. And I'm glad that they'd never seen anything like it, but I'm also glad they've seen it, right? Because Jenna, who is our new favorite sister in arms.
She's right? Our butterfly muse.
She texted me, Penny, and Amy with a whole list of things she's bringing back to Butterfly about diversity and inclusion based upon her experience at our conference.
And she only spent 1 hour. She came away with so many takeaways in just one segment.
Another friend of mine, another Jenna, ironically, who is very active in other areas, not in medicine, was also there for literally 3 hours and sat in the audience and came away and said, wow. And I am saying wow. I say wow all the time. I say I am both humbled and proud of this experience because it is nothing like I thought it was going to be when we started. I did not expect this would be our thing.
I was going to say, there's another thing that we thought about that we brought newly this year to Fix 18. We didn't come up with it. I'd seen it at some of these other big conferences that are very successful. It's this concept of coaching. We all need help. We all want to belong. We all want to feel supported. We all want to succeed. And people knew that the stakes were sort of high and the presentation level is pretty high at Fix. And that's, hello, only after 1 year. This was year two, and people are like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. So we put in place a coaching program, but they were people that we knew had a lot of experience with speaking. Some of them were fixed 17 speakers and wanted a way to participate. Some were outside. And I mean, from my perspective, it was a good way to involve people that didn't know how to get involved, i.e. some of our men who just are really eager. They want to help. They want to be a part. They believe in our mission. They just don't know how. When we sent out messages requesting participation, it was immediately yes, 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 yes. So we, without getting too granular, we had 17 pairs of coaches, also international, all over the world. People adjusted time zones to meet with our speakers. Some took advantage, some didn't, meaning some speakers just did their own thing, some didn't. But if you, we speak with some of the coaches, and maybe that's something, actually one of our podcasts, we can speak with some of our coaching pairs, that would be fun. They were floored with the level of progress. We had maiden voyage speakers, like I'll talk about Eva from Geneva. She'd never spoken. Never.
That's incredible. Really?
Yes. She'd never spoken. And to know, I know where she started, and her coaches were well, you know, you understand, hesitant. And like to see her commanding the stage, strong voice, moving her arms, giving her story, and delivering a story to which everybody related, because it's all of our experiences as women in healthcare, and we don't live in Geneva, Switzerland.
And the thing about her, and again, I think this is a kind of one of those things I want to take away and kind of bring it all together, is mentorship, sponsorship, coaching, these are not novel concepts, right? We know these are the things we need in our careers to be successful.
Right.
Right. The reason women don't get asked to be on stage is because people judge that they are not prepared. And we say, okay, bring your idea. We will prepare you. We will work with you so that when you get on that stage, you will overwhelm everybody. Mm-hmm. And you will get invited to speak somewhere else again. And Eva is a good example, because I will tell you that I didn't know how hard she was coached. I only knew that she had a coach and that she came to the stage and brought it. Yeah. And I am floored that she did not come to her coaches with extraordinary speaking experience, because she was exceptional.
Yeah. It was her first experience.
She was exceptional.
Yep.
And I am excited for everyone out there to see the talks, to listen to the podcasts, and to realize that there is always an opportunity to support somebody. And Steph Simons said it in her talk, and I watched some of these today actually, and I missed her talk because I was taking care of something. You know, she was talking about problem doctors. And I think, again, I want to leave with these concepts, because as women in medicine, so often we are identified as problem doctors because there's something else in our life that is taking us away from the primary objective, which is to see patients fast and be a neutral party at work. And when you dig deep into these problem doctors, a lot of times it's that they haven't been coached, or that they have something else in their life, or that there's something more complicated going on, and nobody either asked, or even if they did ask, they didn't care. And she was very clear in her program that she runs at her, in her group, that it's about, you know, listening, and it's about observing, and it's about coaching. You know, it's about discovering what people's truths are. And if you're there for them, you'd be astounded, right, at what they can bring. And so I think that's probably the thing that I'm most proud of, is that we are committed to diversity and inclusion, but we're also committed to excellence for ourselves, for our medical students, for our residents, for our men, for our peers, for our stage, for our swag bags, right? We come at this with a sense of extraordinary purpose and responsibility, but pride. And I think it shows.
We're here to witness. And we're allowing people to express their experience, their story, and they feel heard. It's exquisitely powerful.
It also shows that when you invest in Feminems, your return on investment is unimaginable.
I agree. Unstoppable. Any other last thoughts before I bring on the announcements for Fix 19? I can't believe I'm announcing Fix 19. It's 72 hours.
Oh, so we decided on this podcast, we're doing it. Okay, cool.
So they called me, they said, hey, would you like to do it again? I said, all right, fine. And okay, so right. So because of the fact that I finally have my stuff together, we already have a venue for Fix 19.
Nice.
Which gave me palpitations in booking it, but that's okay. So Fix 19 is going to be in New York City. It's going to be at the Grand Hyatt in Grand Central. It's in a hotel for the first time. We are finally large enough with enough runway to be able to actually
be at a hotel. There's a huge commitment. Since there's no overarching organization per se, it's a little different, but this is going to be exciting. The dates for the conference are going to be September 15th through 17th. It's actually a Sunday, Monday, Tuesday next year. And that has to do with the fact that we're right before the UN General Assembly. So that could be very cool. There may be a chance to pull some very cool speakers. I don't know. We'll see. Our call for speakers for Fix 19, because a lot of people have actually asked already, is going to be December 1st. And so pay attention to the Twitter account and social media. Shivani, how do we disseminate information on social media? Can you tell us?
Absolutely. So for many of you who were at Fix 18, you were probably using the hashtag Fix 18. And just to throw some numbers out there for you guys, basically from the start of the opening party to the closing talk, you'll find 11,600 new and original tweets. These were tweeted by 1,700 participants, and get this, made 39 million impressions. 39 million. Oh, that's huge.
I'm still trying to find a metric. My husband said this. He told me that the Russian bots who influenced the election had 9 million impressions. So we are able to overthrow 4 democracies if we try in 2 days.
We are a Russian bot.
Yes.
So I don't know. This was the metric he gave me, so I'm not sure. Okay. So Shivani, what can they follow on our social media to find out information?
So definitely follow. I mean, so if you want to learn more about what happened at Fix 18, search Fix 18. You might have a lot of FOMO, but you'll get to see a lot of photos, a lot of quotes and curls from each talk. You might even get to see these cool gifts that were created, whether it was Mike Asandi's mic drop or Amy's mind blown or my excited dance. But you'll get to see those and you can use those. But if you want to hear more about Fix 19, you'll be able to follow hashtag Fix 19. And, you know, these are also important because it not only gives you information, but it helps you connect with people all around the world. And for people who weren't actually able to be at Fix, they felt like they were part of the community. They felt a sense of awareness, a sense of inclusivity. So definitely follow the hashtags Fix 18, Fix 19, and just FemEM. And then you should also, if you already don't, follow us on Instagram, where you'll be able to see stories and be updated with pictures and more of this information. It's at FemEMgram. So follow all of those things to get more information and to stay in the loop of FemEM and Fix.
And you can also subscribe to the podcast, which is important because as we announce more podcasts and we have more podcasts, we generally have announcements, but you can also listen to a lot of the talks from last year. So we're going to open our Fix. Yes, Amy.
Dara, I have a question.
Yes,
I heard that Fix 19 will be able to hold double the attendees. Is that true?
If double is not double, then yes, that's true. the truth is that, so the room that I booked then held 1,000 people. That's actually in the main room. If we were actually to decide to do another live stream room, then who knows what we can hold, right?
Wow.
And so we'll see. This is what it holds, but it's not a theater. So it's not the same level of fixed seats as it was when we had a theater. Part of the reason we sold out so fast is that there are only so many seats in a theater. And once every one of them was taken, then what am I going to do? Have people on the floor? You know, can I do a floor seat? Anyway.
Okay, I would pay for that.
The floor seat.
Right? Me too.
I would pay double.
Double. All right. So I will say that we are going to open our Fix Foundation sponsors January 1st. And I want to announce this just very deliberately. So this year we had a program literally envisioned by Risa E. Lewis. Brilliant, brilliant idea, which is that departments could buy tickets in advance for a bulk number of residents and attendings to come to the conference ahead of main ticket sales. And so that meant that University of Kentucky, for example, bought 5 resident tickets ahead of time, or Columbia, where I work, or Jefferson, where Risa works, or Buffalo, every one of our departments bought tickets, right? And so we were able to pre-purchase tickets to the conference ahead of sales to guarantee that five of our attendings, 5 of our residents, whatever it would be able to come to the conference. Once you're a foundation sponsor, you're able to pre-purchase tickets as many as you want in order to get as many people as you want to the conference. And with 1,000 tickets, we're going to be able to do a lot of foundations sponsorships and still have tickets for the general public. So we want to make sure that people pay attention to that. That will open January 1st. And then regular ticket sales will open February 1st. And again, remember that we have a cancellation policy and we know that it's a little stressful to have to buy tickets so far in advance, but we do it because we try to have a curated event and we like to know who's there. And we like to know that we do a lot of stuff that kind of requires a lead time to know what our group is going to look like. The hotel is going to be open. The Hyatt, the hotel block is open, and the link to the hotel rooms will be in the show notes. You could get those now. Penny, what would you like to say?
What about Revive 19?
Oh, Revive 19. So Revive 19 is another conference. I was trying to leave that away, but you didn't give me a chance.
We won't let you.
I know. So that's a retreat that we're having in the desert of Arizona in February. We were almost sold out from that. It is going to be totally different. It is entirely workshop-based. It is very intimate. It is going to have workshop leaders that are extraordinary. So the woman who's running the How to Run for Office workshop actually is a founder of Emerge America, the largest incubator for women running for Democratic office ever. It's been in existence for 20 years. The women, we have narrative writing workshops. We have, how to get published in Science. We have how to invest financially with a certified financial planner. We have, these workshops are going to be extraordinary. And I'm very excited for this event. Risa E. Lewis, are you excited for this event?
I'm beyond excited.
What would you like to
say? I'm actually, getting out of the Northeast in the cold winter is always an attractive
idea.
I was trying to think of something provocative in terms of a term, but the bottom line is warmth when it's cold in the Northeast is always a good idea.
Yeah, it's February 3rd through the 5th at the Andaz Resort in Scottsdale, Arizona. And so I am excited for many reasons. It's also starting on National Women Physicians Day, which is actually Elizabeth Blackwell's birthday. So it's going to be a great opening party there. And so we're very, very excited. So that's a lot of announcements at the end. Recently, have another announcement?
I was going to announce, yeah, we have actually a special podcast series upcoming, another idea with which you've been generous to allow me to run. I'll be recording a few podcasts from Kigali, Rwanda. I'm going to be interviewing women who are moving forward the field and specialty of emergency medicine in Africa, different countries, different women, sisters. People that are making a difference the way Feminem is.
And I will say, understanding the journey of women doctors around the world is humbling. Like I said, another mic drop moment was when Dr. Sherry decided to remind us that we are all, we worry about our work and our life and our balance and our issues. And then she worries sometimes about infrastructure and electricity. And then she travels 3 hours, many days to get to work. And so the experience of international sisters is one that we are required to understand and to feel, because the world is very, very small. All right, that's it. I'm done. I'm going to say thank you to you ladies. Thank you, Shivani. Thank you, Penny. Thank you, Amy.
I feel revived and fixed.
You feel revived and fixed all at once. And I love you ladies so very, very much. And I will talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.